So just like that, Joseph went from being favored by his father to becoming a slave. Then the brothers went ahead with the big time cover up. They slaughtered a goat and dipped Joseph's coat into the blood and presented it to their father, Jacob, convincing him that Jacob had been killed by a vicious animal. Meanwhile, Joseph was sold in Egypt to a man named Potiphar. Although Joseph was in a desperate situation, God was always with him, acting on Joseph's behalf. That is key. God was always with him, acting on Joseph's behalf. We are coming from the book of Genesis, the easiest, well, one of the easiest ones for you to find. It's the first one. And we are going to be coming from the chapter 45, and we're going to read verses 3 through 8. Genesis 45, verses 3 through 8. Genesis 45. Verses 3 through 8. I'm like my daddy now. I need some glasses. Daddy, where are my glasses? It reads, Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But they could not answer him because they were terrified in his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near me." And they came near. "I am Joseph, your brother," he said, "the one you sold into Egypt. And now don't be grieved or angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there will be 5 more years without plowing or harvesting. God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt." That is the end of our scripture reading. May we all be readers, hearers, and most importantly, doers of God's holy word. Today's title is The Master's Plan. Now, lest I make the assumption that everyone here or everyone listening already knows Joseph's story, please allow me to give you a brief synopsis of Joseph's life leading up to this point in today's scripture. So Joseph was the favorite child of his father, Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. And Joseph's father, Jacob, loved him more than any of his other sons because Joseph was the son of Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel. There's a lot of favoritism, excuse me, going on in this family. Jacob made Joseph this beautiful robe that was symbolic of a garment meant for the firstborn, which Joseph was not. And you can imagine how Joseph's older brothers felt about this. They are pretty heated. They couldn't stand Joseph. And Joseph didn't make matters any better because he had a couple of dreams that showed his older brothers all bowing down to him. Now, Joseph had to know that his older brothers felt some type of way about him. But instead of keeping the dreams to himself, he told his brothers all about how he saw them all bowing down before him, which infuriated his brothers even more. So they plotted to kill him. They planned to kill him and then throw him into a pit and tell their father Jacob that he had been killed by vicious animals. Well, his oldest brother, Reuben, who happened to be actually the firstborn, convinced the others not to kill him, but to just throw him in a pit. But Reuben was actually secretly planning to come back and rescue Joseph. Well, the other brothers go ahead and throw Joseph into an empty pit, but then another brother, Judah, decided they probably shouldn't kill him, so instead they sold Joseph to some passing by traders for 20 pieces of silver. They ain't think too much, they little brother. So just like that, Joseph went from being favored by his father to becoming a slave. Then the brothers went ahead with the big time cover up. They slaughtered a goat and dipped Joseph's coat into the blood and presented it to their father, Jacob, convincing him that Jacob had been killed by a vicious animal. Meanwhile, Joseph was sold in Egypt to a man named Potiphar. Although Joseph was in a desperate situation, God was always with him, acting on Joseph's behalf. That is key. God was always with him, acting on Joseph's behalf. Joseph recognized that God was with him, and he became the best worker in Potiphar's house. He was placed in a position of authority and given the keys to Potiphar's estate. And although he was a slave, things were looking pretty decent for Joseph. But then came along Potiphar's wife, and apparently Joseph must have been fine, because she kept pushing up on him and trying to get him to sleep with her. Now, Joseph didn't want any parts of her foolishness, but she was relentless. She kept trying to get him to sleep with her, and one day she grabbed him by his garment. He ended up getting away from her, but she held on to his garment, went ahead and accused him of attempting to rape her. She was pretty salty about him not wanting to be with her, so she flipped the script and accused him of trying to rape her. So once again, through no fault of his own, Joseph was sent somewhere that he didn't deserve to be and was thrown into prison. But once again, God was with Joseph, and he found favor in the prison and was placed in charge of all the other prisoners. Now stick with me. I'm almost to where we are in today's focus scripture. Remember, I'm just paraphrasing. If you never read this story, you might want to actually go back and read it a little bit later, because you know, y'all watch, I used to watch the one, but you know, the Real Housewives, they ain't got nothing on the real, like the stuff that happened. You might want to go back and read this. So while in prison for being accused of attempted rape, Joseph is assigned to Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and baker, and both of them had dreams that they couldn't interpret. So Joseph, after first acknowledging that God is the one who actually interprets dreams, he went on to tell both of them what their dreams meant. 2 years go by with Joseph still in prison, wrongfully accused, and Pharaoh has a troubling dream of his own that none of his wise men or magicians can interpret until the chief cupbearer remembers Joseph from prison. So Joseph is brought from the prison to Pharaoh to interpret his dream. And again, Joseph honors God by telling Pharaoh that it is God who interprets dreams. He goes on to explain to Pharaoh that his dream actually foretold 7 years of great abundance that would be followed by 7 years of a devastating famine that would come upon the land. Joseph advised Pharaoh on how he should handle the famine, and because he saw that Joseph had such godly wisdom and insight, Pharaoh immediately decided to put Joseph in charge. And once again, Joseph was put in a position of authority. He was elevated to Pharaoh's second in command. And then after the 7 years of plenty, the famine began, and Joseph was in charge of selling food to everybody that came from different lands. The famine was widespread, and it also hit the land of Canaan, where Joseph's father Jacob and his brothers lived. Desperate for food, the brothers arrived in Egypt to purchase food for their families. And lo and behold, who's in charge of dispersing the food? Joseph. But of course, they didn't know this. So like everyone else, they came to Joseph. They came to purchase the food, and the brothers bowed down before Joseph. Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. 20 years after Joseph told his brothers of his dream of them bowing down before him, here it was being fulfilled. Now, I'm certain Joseph never imagined or planned for it to happen this way. But this was not Joseph's plan. This was the master's plan. So very long, short story short, we are now in Genesis 45, verses 3 through 8. And Joseph is revealing his identity to his brothers. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But don't feel badly. Don't blame yourselves for selling me. God was behind it. God sent me here ahead of you to save lives. There has been a famine in the land now for 2 years. The famine will continue for 5 more years, neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me on ahead to pave the way and make sure there was a remnant in the land to save your lives in an amazing act of deliverance. Joseph's life is an example of how the master's plan is the best plan. His life shows that there can be detours, obstacles, trials, and adversity, even as a part of the master's plan. Joseph's life demonstrates how following the master's plan is better than trying to alter or deviate towards our own plan. His life also shows us that even through following the master's plan may not always be easy. It may likely include some things that we don't want to endure. Staying the course of the master's plan always leads to much better than any of our plans could ever offer. Many of us have plans for our lives. We are constantly thinking and planning our way. What should I do next? Where do I go from here? How do I get there? How long should it take me to get there? What do I need to make it happen? Who can I enlist to help me make it happen? Many of us are in our Eric B. and Rakim era. We're thinking of a master plan. Some of us are out here plotting, planning, and even scheming, trying to make something happen when all we have to do is follow the master's plan. How does one follow the master's plan? If we're going to follow the master's plan, we have to be positioned, meaning we must be in alignment with the master. Yeah, we're supposed to plan. We all should be intentionally and carefully planning ahead, but in our planning, we must recognize our position. We are not in control. We are not Lord over our plans or our way. Proverbs 16:9 tells us, a person's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. Our plans should be humbly made, recognizing God as Lord and surrendering to his ultimate will. Far too often, we make plans and decisions of our own will and our own desires. And then, after we begin the process of carrying out those plans or decisions, then we attempt to enlist God's assistance, therefore putting ourselves in the position of control. When Proverbs 16:3 says, commit our activities to the Lord, and our plans will be established. So if we submit our will to his will, then our plans will be achieved because they will be aligned with his. I'm pretty sure that Joseph's plan for his life did not include being sold into slavery. Pretty sure his plan didn't include spending time in a prison or being away from his family. But in spite of all of it, he submitted his will to God's will and remained positioned and in alignment with God. Ask yourself, how am I positioned? Is my will aligned with the Father's will? There are many of us right now in situations with heartache, problems, chaos, confusion, strife, simply because we chose to follow our own plan without aligning our plan with God's plan. If we're going to follow the master's plan, we also have to be persistent. We can't be given up. There's no quitting allowed in following the master's plan. We have to keep going in spite of what things look like or feel like. So many times we start out on a journey and we're gung-ho, we're going strong, full speed ahead. And as long as things are going our way, we're good. But at the first sign of disappointment, discomfort, or discord, we're ready to abort mission. Joseph had to have wanted to give up and call it quits. His life had started out great. I'm sure he had big plans for his future, especially knowing that he was his daddy's favorite. I'm sure Joseph thought his life was going to go in an entirely different direction than it did. through all that he endured, he continued to trust God. He continued to work hard, and he excelled in all that he did. He persevered. Joseph was persistent in remaining true to God. Scripture repeatedly says the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph persisted in being a godly example for those around him, even in the dark places. How persistent are we about remaining true to God when his plans take us in an uncomfortable direction? Do we lose hope when we forget that God tells us in Jeremiah 29:11 that his plan for us includes a future and a hope? We have to persist in trusting God and remaining true to his word as we follow his plan. If God's perfect plan for salvation included unimaginable suffering for his son, Jesus, for our sake, should we think that we are exempt from suffering? Jesus didn't abort his mission. Neither should we. If we're going to follow the master's plan, we have to be positioned, persistent, and we must also be patient. Following the master's plan means that I can't expect instant gratification that we've grown accustomed to in this internet era. Yeah. Following the master's plan means that I will not see the end before the middle or the beginning. I've got to go through the process, and sometimes the process is long. Sometimes the process is hard. Yeah. Sometimes the process is confusing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes the process isn't what we expected. Sometimes the process hurts. Yeah. Following the master's plan and going through his process helps us cultivate patience. Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who produces patience within us. No person is capable of demonstrating patience apart from God. James 1:3 says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Joseph demonstrated patience. He remained steadfast in many difficult situations. We see through Joseph's life many times that his faith was tested, and rather than him cursing God and turning away, he continued to follow the master's plan and demonstrated patience. He didn't try to end his suffering. He didn't abort the mission that he was on, even though he had no idea what was to come. Amen. A lot of us here are going through a difficult time. Maybe the plan as you thought it was isn't going as you expected. Maybe you thought you were following the master's plan, but it's not looking pretty right now. I've learned that in order to grow in patience, you actually have to go through something. Amen. And you actually have to wait. I've learned through experience that some things that I want fixed now, I have to wait for. Uh-huh. I've learned that some fixes take time. Not because God is slow, but because we aren't always ready. Right. I've learned that sometimes in order to appreciate his blessing, you may have to go through some pain. Amen. Sometimes God has to shake up our plan in order for us to realize that his plan is the best plan. I've learned that all the time, God is really in control. We just have to trust him. This difficult time may be a bit confusing. It may be long. We have to want to try and help. Sometimes we want to try and help the plan out with our limited ability. The easy thing for us to do would be to abort mission and make another plan. But the master's plan is the best plan. So stay the course, recognizing that just as in Joseph's life, the Lord is with us. We will grow in patience and therefore be able to demonstrate that patience and dependence on the Father for others to see. If we're going to follow the master's plan, we need to be positioned, persistent, and patient. Whose plan are you going to follow? Yours or the master's perfect plan? I just got a few more things to point out concerning the master's plan. The first one is that the master's plan is preserving. Yeah. Because Joseph was positioned, persistent, and patient, he was able to carry out God's plan to preserve his family. Verse 7 says, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Joseph is declaring here that the purpose of his captivity was to preserve a remnant of Jacob's lineage. If Joseph had not remained in line with God and chose to come up with another plan, his family's lineage could have ended. But we know that God had promised to make Joseph's great-grandfather Abraham a great nation and to give him descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. We know that God promised Joseph's grandfather Isaac that he would keep the promise he made to Abraham. And in Genesis 35, 10 through 11, he affirmed that promise with Joseph's father, Jacob, whom he renamed Israel, and said, "You will be a great nation, even many nations. Kings will be among your descendants." We know the king was one of them. The master's plan is bigger than us. Jacob recognized that all he had been through was for a greater good. It was to preserve his family's lineage. Yes, his brothers had done him wrong. They actually did him pretty dirty. But that's how you know the Lord was with Joseph, because he wasn't even mad at his brothers. He held no grudge. He wasn't even seeking revenge. Meanwhile, some of us are holding on to petty stuff that was done to us, walking around plotting and planning the opportunity for our revenge. I'm gonna get my get back. His brothers definitely did him wrong by selling him to Egypt, but the master had a plan, and it was actually God who put Joseph in place to fulfill his plan. The master's plan is preserving. The master's plan is also promoting. In verse 8, Joseph tells his brothers, "Therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt." Even in the role of a slave, Joseph was promoted. His little M master, Potiphar, recognized that God, the true master, was with him and promoted Joseph to his personal attendant. When Joseph was undeservingly thrown into prison because of the Lord's presence with him, he was granted favor with the prison warden and promoted to a position of authority over all the other prisoners. But we see that the master's plan consisted of another promotion for Joseph because Pharaoh made him second in command. He went from pit to a prison to a palace. The master was carefully orchestrating all of these events to fulfill his plan. And because Joseph was positioned, persistent, and patient, he was promoted and played a critical role in preserving his family line. The master's plan is also providential. Providential simply means divine oversight or divine intervention. Providence means that there is no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as chance. There's no such thing as happenstance or fate. Romans 8:28 tells us that we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. It was not by chance that those traitors sold Joseph to Potiphar. It was not happenstance that Joseph ended up in prison with Pharaoh's cupbearer and chief baker. It wasn't a coincidence that the cupbearer overheard that Pharaoh couldn't interpret his dream, causing him to remember Joseph. It wasn't luck that Joseph found favor with Pharaoh. It was the providence of God. All of these events were stitched together by God as a part of his master plan for his purpose. What Joseph's brother meant for evil, God meant for good. The master's plan is preserving, promoting, providential, and it is certainly praiseworthy. In spite of where you are or what is going on in the master's plan, his plan is praiseworthy. Too many of us only praise God for what he does for us. Too many of us only acknowledge him in the good. We should not just praise God for what he does. We praise him for who he is. The master is worthy to be praised whether you are in a pit, in a prison, or in a palace. He deserves to be praised. Unbelievers expect us to praise him when we're in a palace. They don't expect to see praise when we're in a pit or in prison. The enemy expects praise when things are going well, but the enemy is confused when we are praising in pits and prisons. Scripture tells us that God inhabits the praise of his people. It said repeatedly throughout Joseph's story that the Lord was with him. You think Joseph was quiet about the God who was with him? I believe there had to be some praising going on.
Yes.
Are you just a palace praiser, or are you able to praise God in your pits? None of us know what tomorrow brings. Joseph was living his best life, being his daddy's favorite, running around in his fancy fly coat, telling everybody about his dreams one day, and the next sold into slavery. One viewing of the news channels, papers, or scroll through any social media site will let you know that there's a great deal of confusion, chaos, and commotion going on today. None of us knows what is to come of any of it. But I believe that just as God was orchestrating his master plan through Joseph's life, he is working things out for ours.
Yeah.
The question is, are we going to stick with his plan or go about our own?
All right.
The question is, are we going to worry, fret, or fear while he's working it out? Or are we going to praise him through it?
Yeah.
You've heard me say it before. Praise is visible and verbal. Praise is visible
yeah.
and verbal.
Yes, it is.
Our praise should be seen and heard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe you're in a place in your life that you didn't plan to be. Maybe you're questioning what's going on. Just as God had a plan for Joseph's life, he has a master plan for yours and mine.
Yeah.
His plan may not be what you expect, but you can without a doubt trust his plan.
Yeah.
And we can certainly praise him through his plan. We can praise him through the uncertainty because he is the undefeated one. We can praise him through fear because our faith is in him. We can praise him through the groans because there will be growth. We can praise him through the pain because he is our peace. We can praise him through the grief because he brings gladness. We can praise him through chaos because he gives comfort. We can praise him through hardships because there will be healing. We can praise him when we're in a jam because he is our joy. We can praise him through our burdens because there will be blessings. We can praise him through the doubt because of his deliverance. We can praise him through our hurt because he is our hope. We can praise him through loss because he is life. We can praise him through struggles because there will be satisfaction. We can praise him in the pits because they have a purpose. We can praise him through all suffering because Jesus is salvation.
Yeah.
There may be some problems. Yeah, there will be some problems, but Jesus is our high priest.
Yeah.
Praise him for his perfect plan. The master's plan is deserving of all praise.
Yeah.
From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Oh, how my soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Therefore, through Jesus, let our continual sacrifice of praise to God. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with the clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Are you going to praise him? Will you lift him up? Will you praise him with your life? He's more than worthy of our praise. If you take nothing else from today, make sure that you are positioned in alignment under God, submitting your will to his sovereign will. And then as you plan your way, he will establish your steps. Be persistent in following the way that he leads you. In spite of how hard it gets or how much it hurts, keep going. Don't give up. Be patient. Some things are going to take more time than others. Some paths are longer and some have detours. It took Joseph 22 years to be reconciled with his brothers. Stay the course. Remember, the Lord is with you.